Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the show live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Don't forget, if you can't catch us live at 11 a.m., you can find us as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well, and glad to have you with us today. We haven't done a coronavirus talk here for a few days since the weekend, so let's get back into that routine today. Locally, kind of putting the focus on the virus locally, the really bad news, everything otherwise I think has been okay for where we're at, but another long-term care facility, kind of the focus of Clark County this time, and it's the Wedgewood facility on Potter's Lane in Clarksville. They now have 65 positive COVID-19 cases there. That number jumped up by 44 or so over the weekend between staff and also folks that stay there in the home. And obviously that's a concerning jump and a concerning number. And then just last week, we saw the same thing happen in Floyd County on Charlestown Road at the Providence DiversiCare facility. So no question about it. It's concerning times for that. And let's just hope that the numbers continue generally to stay down. We'll see what happens over the next few weeks. Speaking of COVID-19, I do want to tell you that Dr. Yazel, the Floyd County Health Department officer, he will join us tomorrow. He's be his second time with us during this COVID-19 pandemic, and so we look forward to hearing from him tomorrow and getting an update from his perspective on how things are going locally, and maybe does he have an idea when we could begin to see, I don't even want to use the term normal, but maybe a new normal in this thing when we can get back out and get closer to the return of sports here locally and possibly get some routine back with what we're used to. So that's tomorrow. We'll have him with us. But let's jump into the show lineup for today, presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A new offer, this came in last week, I didn't mention it yet, for Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. A little bit about college basketball coaching changes and how that has really slowed, at least as of now, a lot of it due, I'm sure, to the shutdown and the coronavirus. A neat note on Michael Jordan. We've been talking so much about Jordan and the Bulls, and a neat note about Jordan and IU and Bloomington that I read in the Indianapolis Star yesterday as well. We'll cover that and more in our headlines today, brought to you by Zaxby's. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he always joins me, presented by Coffee Crossing. We're going to talk NCAA, Trace Jackson Davis back, a little IU basketball, and more with Greg in his weekly Tuesday segment here on the program. And then later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he will join, and we will talk IU basketball, what's going on in Bloomington right now, which obviously the answer to that is not a whole bunch, but still some recruiting activity, still some other things to talk about with the program, and as far as the, I know it's a long way off, but the season next year as well, so we'll do that today in the show also. That's the lineup. It's brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany, and with a $15 purchase, you can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. Again, this is a tremendous deal. It's for a limited time. Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, if you buy $15 in your purchase, you can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. So make sure that you check that out. Let's get into some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news of interest to you. Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, he got an offer late last week. This came late last week. Some of you may already know about this, from Virginia. And I guess really the reason I bring it up now is we've talked about Trey and how he's at a different situation in this offseason than a number of players going through the recruiting process, whether they be seniors or underclassmen. Yes, he's got lots of interest. Yes, he's got lots of options and scholarship offers. But this spring that he's going to miss, and it looks like probably this summer, June with the high school team, which is important, there's an evaluation period involved in that now. This would be year two of that. But more importantly for the recruiting standpoint is the shoe circuits in the month of July. That is big, the spring and the summer, big opportunities for a player like him that has Indiana, that has Purdue, that has others in the Midwest to extend their recruitment to a national level, to a Duke, a Kentucky, a North Carolina, a Virginia. So it is interesting to see that Virginia, who had been in to watch Trey and who had seen him before, they offer a scholarship despite not being able to see him play at all this spring. And so could that be the first step in some additional offers for Trey as his recruiting continues? And I don't know. I don't follow Duke to know their recruiting patterns and when they offer and when they don't offer and what they have to see and how long they have to see a player before they'll consider offering a scholarship. But it will be interesting to see, especially if we end up playing some basketball later this summer, if Trey can take it from a really good situation now. I mean, believe me, as we know, he's got plenty of options right now. I think Indiana fans wish he didn't have so many options as it stands now. But it will be interesting to see if his recruitment does continue to expand. And I think that an offer from Virginia, especially in this time, shows that he is moving up on a lot of schools' radars, and other schools are possibly going to get involved. So, and again, other schools are involved. It's just a matter of do they get that, take it to the next level with a scholarship offer. Also, another interesting topic right now in college basketball, we've talked a lot about budgets, the coronavirus and its effect now and potentially long-term on college athletic departments. We also have talked a lot about the one-time waiver that's been apparently delayed, that's a vote that was really being waited upon by a lot of transfers and a lot of college coaches who want to reshape their team a little bit for next season. But one of the other big storylines that we would normally spend a lot of time on, there'd be a lot of rumors on, there'd be some movement on. I don't know that if there would be any in a normal year in our state, and I don't really know how many in the Big Ten there could have been this year, but there definitely have not been many coaching changes. There have not been many coaches getting fired, many coaches leaving. It's obviously a chain reaction in that process, so if there aren't a lot of firings, there aren't going to be a lot of movement in the coaching trail. But one of those, in fact, the biggest coaching change of the 2020 offseason happened over the weekend, and that was when Wake Forest fired Danny Manning. I was reading about Coach Manning, of course, former great player, no question about that. He built a mid-major program and had success at that level before taking over Wake Forest. I think his biggest challenge there may have not been the coaching or the X's and O's. He had so many players he recruited at a fairly high level, had so many players leave his program early that he never could develop stability. He was a turnover every year. There never became a whole bunch of upperclassmen or leadership that knew what he wanted. So the Wake Forest job, very interesting. I've seen, obviously, with it being the only high major job that I can think of right now that's open, lots of very interesting names. Could somebody like John Beilein, former Michigan coach, who probably made a mistake by going to Cleveland in the NBA for a short period of time, could he be interested? That would sure be a boon, a pickup for the ACC. I think in the coaching ranks, there's no question about that. But it will be interesting to see who fills that job. Of course, if it were to be somebody like John Beilein from Michigan, that would kind of jam up any movement that the Wake Forest opening could cause if it was a current coach in college hired, and then, of course, that replacement chain continues. But definitely the college coaching movement, which is normally a lot of fun in the offseason to track, it has been much, much slower in this 2020 offseason. There's no question about that. Transfer portal, very active. Concerns about budgets, all over the place. I saw Bill Self and the football coach Les Miles at Kansas both returning 10% of their salary to the school, and the AD as well due to coronavirus budget concerns. But coaching changes have definitely been few and have not dominated the conversation like they typically would at the Final Four weekend and back into March. And even right now, there would still be schools normally making decisions, although we would typically be getting fairly close to the end of that. But it will be interesting to see, are there any other openings at the high major level in the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten? You wouldn't think so at this point, but who knows? Definitely think there would have been, could have been more and more movement in a regular time. There's no question about that. And I think also you could say at the high school level there have been some effect as well. Maybe a coach that wanted to get out, wanted to retire, wanted to leave for whatever reason, doesn't feel like it's the right time, doesn't want to do that to his or her school or athletic director in a period where it might be hard to find a quality replacement. And speaking of high school coaching jobs, the big one open right now in our area, the Jeffersonville boys job. I understand they'll be interviewing for that position this week, so it's possible later in the week or maybe into next week we find out who the next boss of the Red Devils could be. One final headline, actually two quick headlines. The Basketball League, I can't even pronounce the full name, the BBL, Braden Hobbs used to play in it, New Albany guy, some years back. They are hoping to begin play fairly soon, playing without spectators and playing all their games, I think, in one location. The interesting thing is, obviously, the season would pick back up, and 10 of the teams have decided that if they move forward with this plan to play in one location with no spectators, 10 of the teams would play. But there is 7 teams that have said, nope, it's, you know, too risky. We don't know enough. We're not going to play. Our season is over with. And interestingly enough, Jordan Halls, former IU player, is on one of those 7 teams that have said, hey, if you pick back up the season, we will not be there to play and continue on. So Jordan Halls, it looks like he's going to be back in Indiana for the foreseeable time as his team will not continue. And you can't fault that. I think we could see some very interesting situations with that here in America if and when some pro sports and other things begin for a TV audience only. Final little note, I thought this was fun. In this time, back in 1984, the U.S. Olympic trials for the men's basketball team, which Coach Knight coached, were held in Bloomington April 17th through the 22nd at Assembly Hall. Had a few days to whittle the roster down. I think it was a number of players that came at, down to 12 players and 2 alternates. And guess who one of those players was that spent some time in Bloomington on campus at Assembly Hall, around town at some of the eating establishments? None other than Michael Jordan. Of course, we all have had some fun here recently going back in time to think about Michael Jordan and the Bulls and that great run, and we're not all the way through it yet with the ESPN docuseries, but it's brought back a lot of great memories. And of course, in a downtime like this, you can reminisce a little bit more. Neat story in the Star that mentions that he was in Bloomington. It kind of takes you through some of the places he went, and just a different time, obviously, in Bloomington. But Michael Jordan spent a number of days, I guess 6 or 7 days in Bloomington, as he was obviously a cinch to make Coach Knight's U.S. Olympic team that represented the country in the Olympics, but spent some time in Bloomington confirming his spot on that team. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Also, later in the program, we have our senior spotlight, and today we'll focus on Caleb Allstott. He runs track and field at New Albany High School. We'll tell you all about his accomplishments on the track and in the classroom as well, and a little bit more about who he is as we recognize senior class members that play a spring sport that had their season canceled because of the pandemic that we currently find ourselves in. We'll head to a commercial break. Back with Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is my guest, and this segment is presented, as always, by Coffee Crossing. A reminder that their location in downtown New Albany without a drive-through is currently closed, but all the other Coffee Crossing locations here in southern Indiana open to serve you your favorite coffee and drinks using their drive-through service. Greg, great to have you with us today, and I want to start with a familiar name that we have had many, many conversations with about going back to his high school career, and that is Trace Jackson Davis, who on Sunday confirmed in a tweet that he would return to Indiana for his sophomore year. No big surprise. I think we all assumed that that would be the path for Trace. But what a big shot in the arm for IU. And I know it's just April. I know we're approaching May. Long off season, many, many months to go until we can have any real formidable talks about college basketball for next year, especially with what's going on in this pandemic world we're in. But a big shot in the arm, and I sense excitement building for what Indiana basketball could be, the improvements they could make next season.
Yeah, that was a surprise really for two reasons. One is, it seems like every single prospect in America is turning pro or at least entering the draft. But two, a lot of those people are surely doing what Trace could have done, which is enter the draft just to get feedback, you know, don't hire the wrong agent, don't accept money, and then come back to school, knowing what the NBA says you got to get better at. So it's really, it's kind of surprising he didn't even bother with that, but it's also – very encouraging in a lot of ways. Mainly, he's got to know what he's got to get better at. There's no point going through the process just to be told, kind of be crapped on and be told, you don't do this well enough, you don't do that well enough. I mean, he knows if he wants to play in the NBA, he's got to get perimeter skills better. He's got to shoot better from distance. And he knows. So why rush it? Like so many guys, you can tell the way it is. Kids now, it used to be it was really cool to turn pro out of high school, and so too many kids would do that. I think they would do it if nothing else for the eager gratification of there being a story in the paper saying they turned pro out of high school. Like, that's how good I must be. That's become now everybody's turning pro after their freshman year. That's just because apparently you're not any good. If you stick around for 2 years, you must not be any good. He denied himself that ego gratification, and good for him. He needs to come back to school and get serious.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. You know, it's going to be interesting, the NBA draft situation as a whole. I think June 5th right now is the deadline for someone that has declared interest that they've got to say, I'm staying in or I'm coming back to college. Nothing's been decided, but I think it's all but given that date will be pushed back. It's just a matter of how late that date will be pushed back, and will the NBA draft be moved, and at what date would it be moved to? I think that's just a common thought that all of that is going to happen and be announced at some point. You know, yesterday when Trace said he was coming back, I mentioned IU scholarship situation for next year, and, you know, Lander could take one, and, you know, maybe there could be a late graduate transfer still added to the roster with some kids that are student athletes that are in the portal right now. But it gets later and later every year. Can you imagine if this draft goes back to August and the date is bumped back? I saw someone say maybe early August could be the date where the cutoff to return to college or stay in the draft could be. We've always talked about how late rosters getting together and coaches really knowing for sure what they have. If this stuff all gets pushed back, it won't be Indiana, but a lot of schools could be in a lot of limbo on what they're going to have or not have for next year.
Yeah, the NCAA needs to come out, or the NBA, sorry, needs to come out and say, you know, the deadline is what it is, and it is what it was, and nothing really is going to change because that's chaos. And the thing is that they don't want to announce, obviously, the date of the draft or change it yet until they know when the season might end, but at some point, they're going to get close. We're getting closer and closer to them calling off the season. We just have to be. Either way, these are weird times, and it's not going to happen like it normally happens. Like the NFL, they just didn't get visits. Like somebody drafted Tua Tagovailoa, the Dolphins did fifth overall, and they never let their doctors, they couldn't look at him, look at his hip. They did it anyway. And all these teams drafted all these players without the benefit of visits to their facilities. So the NBA draft process is going to be the same. It's, if you want to enter, go ahead, but it's just not going to be what you're used to. There won't be a combine in Chicago, most likely. There won't be visits and workouts in somebody's gym, which I always thought was silly anyway. You've seen these guys play basketball. You've got a lot of tape of them playing basketball. Why do you need to watch them shoot a bunch of three-pointers, you know, just because the assistant coach is passing them the ball? Like, why shoot 23s from the corner? Like, isn't it better to watch what he did on ESPN against Bradley? I don't get that whole thing. But, yeah, they've got to go put all these coaches, and even the players, out of their misery is the wrong way to say it, but just take it out of their hands and just make it clear. If you want to be in the draft, here's the deadline. Be done with it, because we can't have chaos that you're describing. Can't have it. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anybody.
Greg, I want to talk a little bit more about the NCAA. You had a story over the weekend, and I did not find it on your page. I normally check it out every day to see the latest topic, if you had a column. But I know you talked with the head of enforcement for the NCAA, and that's something that we wanted to talk about and promote. Tell us about that story column if somebody wants to get on and check it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. You asked me for story ideas, and
I
texted you that my story Sunday
this coming Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, well, I spent 20 minutes looking on the Star site thinking, I normally see all of them. I don't know where this one's at. So.
Oh, man, all you got to do is go to my Twitter page, and it will have been tweeted out 13 times by me. It's hard to find that way. But, yeah, I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. I'm writing about it for Sunday's paper, and it's the new independent review that Memphis is doing right now with James Wiseman, where the old system was the NCAA was, they were kind of the prosecution and the judge and the jury and the appeal court. They were all of it. And schools don't love that. And so there's now an independent process that not everybody's going to go through. It's only going to be for the most adversarial, because most, we don't know this, but most NCAA cases are rather straightforward. And the school, the NCAA tells the school, here's what we found. The school says, holy cow, you're right, we're sorry. And they agree to, whatever they agree to, and it's over. But there are a handful, and the James Wiseman case with Memphis is certainly one of that handful, where it's just so adversarial and complex, and the stakes are so high that some schools might like to have an independent process. And so the way it works is the NCAA assigns, they've got a pool of lawyers and a pool of researchers, and they just kind of assign this researcher or this investigator is going to investigate the case. They don't work for us. Here's the lawyer that's going to defend Memphis. Doesn't work for you. We're appointing it. And they're going to present this to a 5-person panel of people that don't work the NCAA either. And no appeal possible, though. If you go through the process, you don't have to. They ask you if you want to, and you have to say yes. But if you go through the process, you cannot appeal. So all findings are done, are final. So anyway, it's a very I'm not sure if I made that sound complicated. If I didn't, good for me. But if I didn't, then that just means I left out a million things, because it is so – it is so complicated. I glossed over it. It's so crazy. I interviewed the NCAA. Put one of their legal counsels. Her name is Naima Stevenson Starks. They put her in charge of this thing, and so I spent an hour on the phone with her yesterday. And they've got PowerPoints and PDFs, and this whole new process has an entire handbook unto itself, up more than 100 pages. I read everything. I looked at everything. I studied everything. I even made my own notes, my own little flow chart, before I talked to her, and still didn't have any idea what I was talking about, asking her questions. At one point, I accused her of lying to me, and she wasn't lying to me. I just didn't know what I was talking about. Like, I thought she was lying to me because I thought I knew what I knew, and I didn't know what I didn't know. So it's very, very, very complicated. And last thing I'll say about it, it's so complicated that North Carolina State is allegedly the second school involved. Memphis is going through it. That's out there. Memphis is doing it. There have been stories, I don't know, about a month ago or so, that North Carolina State has become the second school to enter into this independent thing. And no, they haven't. They think they have, but they don't understand something about it. And I'm writing that too, that they think they're in this thing, and they're not in it, not yet, because they it's too complicated even for them. And they're in it because of Dennis Smith, and allegedly he was given $40,000 through, I don't know, Adidas, through an assistant coach, the whole FBI thing.
Interesting stuff. We'll look forward to your column on Sunday. Greg Doyle is with me, presented by Coffee Crossing. Keeping it on basketball, I want to jump to the NBA for just a minute. And I guess ever since the coronavirus became a topic daily and changed life and changed sports, I've kind of always brought it up in some form or fashion with you during our conversation each week. And I've mentioned returns or plans for returns or rumored plans for returns, and we've debated those and thought about those. But the NBA actually announced over the weekend that May 1st they would allow NBA practice facilities in teams that are in states and markets where the coronavirus isn't as tough of a situation and where states maybe are beginning to relax some social distancing rules or allowing certain things to reopen, that if allowable, that team in that location could reopen its practice facility. Well, we got a real quick example of that because Atlanta and Georgia, they are beginning to slowly reopen some things, but the Hawks said, no, we're not ready for that. We're going to see how it goes for a few weeks and then make a decision to open the practice facility and to allow players to come back in and work. The NBA quickly followed that up with, we're delaying things. I think it was May 14th at the earliest now, and that's not a real solid date. That whole transaction there makes me even more shaky that the NBA or maybe even professional sports will return anytime soon because, you know, it went from May 1st. You can if you're in a location that's allowable. Now May 14th, but that's not something that they seem real concrete about. At some point, if they're going to play, that the guys have to be in shape and they've got to get back in and do some work and things like that. But I just don't know, Greg.
Well, I hated that thing from the start, that announcement, because when they announced that, there's only two states in America at that point that had relaxed their stay-at-home orders. And those two states were Oklahoma and Georgia, which means the Thunder and the Hawks, in theory, because their players could come shoot in their gym. But apparently 8 or 10 states are their stay-at-home order expires May 1st, and they could be, you know, extended again. But if all 8 or 10 of those states relax their stay-at-home order, that opens up another 8 or 10 NBA teams that can let their players in. But what I hate about this is, so what happens on May 2nd? Assuming this thing had gone through, which, of course, it did not. So on May 2nd, 10 NBA teams can work out, but 20 of them can't. And I realize just getting up gym shots in the gym is not that big a deal. But if it's not that big a deal, then don't let one-third of your team do it. One-third of your players do it. If it's not that big a deal, then don't do it at all. But if it's a big deal, it's not fair that one-third of your players can do it and two-thirds can't. And then NBA didn't want players like the Pacers. They didn't want players in those cities and states to – you know, because they have a lot of money, they can afford it. Go find a hotel in some other state. Now they're all congregating in one state. Maybe they're going to start practicing together. And it's just mayhem. And I get that we're all in a hurry for this thing to be over with, but this is not a childish thing. We can't just wish it away. We can't just, damn it, we're not 4 years old insisting on that that's not real. No, this is real. And you can't rush through it. And as much as we all, I mean, your job and mine, I'm on furlough next week. I'm not getting paid next week. You think I'm happy about this? I'm not happy about this. But logic has to take over sometimes. And here's a great line that I wish I'd written, but I didn't. James Briggs, our Metro columnist, our news columnist, and he wrote a few weeks ago, he wrote this line that we've been all waiting to, you know, we all keep wondering when will we get back to normal. And he wasn't talking about sports. He's talking about everything. And he said, maybe it's possible that normal has been canceled for 2020. And it has. It's almost like this year's a mulligan. We're just not – I mean, things are not going to happen. There will be no March Madness, and there will be no Indiana State basketball tournament. There will probably be no NBA season. There will be no Major League Baseball season, because the problem is once these players in an empty arena, they want to get paid, and maybe they can all sacrifice some money, but I doubt it. They can't get paid like they want to get paid if fans can't attend, because that's a huge source of revenue. TV money is big, but – the fans and all that's a huge source of revenue. So they're going to play in an empty gym. Are they going to play for 1/8 of their normal salary? It's just not – normal's been canceled and sucks. I'm on furlough next week, but that's just the way it is.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, before we let you go, last week I found out during the segment it was your birthday, and looking on your Twitter account, one of my daily stops to check out your column and to see what interesting comments you've got on the world of sports. I see you got quite the birthday present from your lady, man. Can you tell us about that?
Boy, you talk about overachieving. I always look at people. You know, you see people that are dating somebody, man or woman, whatever, that you've outkicked your coverage. I've always admired those people, and I've always thought, why can't I ever outkick my coverage? You know, I got divorced because maybe she outkicked her coverage and dumped me. Whatever. I've never outkicked my coverage. I did now. I got this one I did. She's wonderful in a million different ways, but how many guys get this? How many guys have their girlfriend buy them for their birthday a huge heavy bag, the standalone heavy bag, and it bends. So when you hit it really hard, it kind of bobs and weaves. I mean, it's a legit heavy bag. Not only did she buy that for me, she put it in her garage, and she cleaned out her garage and moved over her car. And, like, I can go work out there because there's no gym open, right? We can't do anything. So I've got a gym now in her garage. I outkick my cupboard in every single possible way, including the fact that I'm ugly and she's not. It's just amazing.
Hey, will you please make my day, and I'm sure a lot of others that follow you. You've got thousands and thousands of followers. Will you please, can you get her to record a video of you going through a workout on your heavy bag?
I feel like that would be showing off is the wrong word, okay? I'm not Floyd Mayweather, but I feel like that would be, I'd almost be thinking I'm showing off. Doesn't that look arrogant? Like, hey, everybody, watch me work. Do you think people get made fun of for being so presumptuous that people want to see that?
I think you'd be surprised. I'm asking to see it, so it's not your idea. It's, I mean,
blame it on you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll donate some money to charity to see Greg Doyle take out some anger during this coronavirus shutdown on that bag. But, and plus, it's not, you're in shape. I mean, I think I watched something from years back when you were in the ring or training to be in the ring. We've talked about that before as well. So it's not like you're like me, some out of shape guy that's going to start punching and you know, weaving and bobbing around.
Oh, make no mistake, I'm going to look good. But that's the problem. The problem is I'm going to look just good enough that it's going to look like I'm showing off. Like, if I looked like a clown, it'd be like, oh, look how cute that is. Look at that old sports writer hitting the bag. Isn't that kind of – no one thinks, wow, that guy's cocky. He's hitting the bag, because if you look like a jerk or a joke, you're not cocky. But if you look like you know what you're doing, and I can damn sure hit a bag. I can't hit the real person. Chris Lytle kicked my ass, but I can hit a bag. The bag's not hitting me back. Now you got me thinking. Maybe I will. Maybe I will. The thing bobs and weeps up. If you hit it hard enough, it might hit me in the face. That'd be embarrassing.
Consider that. We all need a smile, and that would put a big one on my face for sure. No question about it.
I'm on it.
Final question, real quick.
Final question. Can I take my shirt off when I do this?
Now that's up to you. I didn't ask for that. I asked to see you punch the bag.
Well, why stop there? But anyway, what was your final question?
When I've just kind of been having fun with different things, but when we get back to normal or new normal, what's the one thing, and this doesn't have to be sports. In fact, I hope it's something non-sports. What's the one thing that Greg Doyle would want to do? Is it go to a certain restaurant? Is it meet somebody face-to-face? What's the one thing you've been deprived of that you can't wait to do?
I want to see my sons. They're in Ohio with their mom, and I don't like to go to her house. You know, I just don't want to be there. You know, it's like that reminds me of my old life, and I don't want to be there. So, but I got nowhere to take them. So I can drive there, but there's no restaurant to go to. So I haven't seen them in quite a while. So sorry to go from happy to sad and 0 to 60, but I've not seen my boys in quite a while because, I mean, I guess I could drive and pick him up, sit in the car and talk to him. But, yeah, I miss that. I miss that a lot.
Absolutely. Greg, thanks as always. A lot of fun. Enjoy it. Sports and more. And always look forward to this on Tuesday. And I look forward to that video at some point, hopefully before next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm going to perk up by saying the shirt's coming off at some point. I might Incredible Hulk it just like half through the workout, just rip the thing off with my bare hands. Probably tear both rotator cuffs in the process, but that'd be kind of
cool. Love it, Greg. Thank you.
All right, Matt, tip your server.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Lots of fun when he is with us on the show. And he's with us every Tuesday, thanks to the good people at Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, as always, like Greg says, tip them and make sure you visit Coffee Crossing. They're still open. Great selection of drinks. Even got Lee Kelly and his wife checking out Coffee Crossing on a regular basis. I know that makes us happy. Greg too. All right, we'll head to a break. We'll come back, and a lot more still coming your way. Mike Pegram of Peaks.com, and we've got our senior spotlight on Caleb Allstott of New Albany High School as well. Stay with that. Stay with us for that. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. We'll talk with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com in just a moment. We also will close today with our senior spotlight. We highlight a spring sport athlete each day that had their final opportunity to get on the field or on the track taken away from them here because of the pandemic that we are currently in. Mike Pegram of Peaks is with me. And, Mike, I tell you what, unbelievable. We hear from Archie Miller. Not a lot of opportunities to hear from this guy outside of the season, but the Hoosier Hysterics podcast, which is powered by Peaks.com and can be found on your website, features really a full interview with Coach Miller about a lot of topics from the pandemic to the reaction from the Big Ten tournament when things got canceled to how the staff is communicating with players and the team right now during this time. Again, folks can go to Peaks.com and listen, but give us one or two nuggets that you took away from this really unique and kind of rare opportunity to hear from Archie in this time.
Well, I've only listened to the first half. I heard a story on some of those things you just talked about, how this team is dealing with the pandemic and the fact that they're having once-a-week video calls and how they've managed to deal with the recruiting realities of the shutdown and all that. Not any surprises there. Indiana actually had done pretty well and landed a really huge commitment with a big man a couple of weeks ago. So shows that they are managing video conferencing or video Zoom calls and all that. But I think it the rest of the interview really gets a little bit more into Archie as a person and why he's a good guy to talk to and just kind of more of a different look at his personality beyond him just kind of explaining the ins and outs of his team.
Yeah, you know, we don't that's something that I don't want to say I've been critical on, but other coaches, and I know that you look at Coach Calipari, he's kind of got his own brand. It's a little different. But even just across the river in Louisville, whether it was Coach Pitino and now Coach Mack, even in the off season, there are chances – even during the pandemic, there have been some virtual – press conferences and chances to hear what's going on. And sometimes it's just good for fans. It keeps the interest going and allows, stories and things like that to be a little easier to be written and put out there. So neat to see him agree to an out-of-season interview opportunity that we did not expect and to hear some of the unique things he had to say, not only about the team, but also who he is as an individual as well. Mike, the news about Trace Jackson Davis, I don't think it is a big surprise that he's coming back. Jeff Rabjohns had a report, an interview recently with Christian Lander, where he looks like to be coming along nicely, trying to finish the reclassification process for the to move into the 2020 class. And if that happens, the IU roster outside of Demezi Anderson's open spot would be set, barring something unforeseen, for next year. So my question is this: how many guys that can play at IU's level in the Big Ten Conference in late April or May, very soon, in a few days, are still available in this transfer portal that could be graduate transfers and be eligible for this coming season?
Yeah, I would place the odds that below 50% that they'll end up adding somebody or filling that last scholarship, but I think they will turn over to all the rocks and look for somebody that might be a good fit, whether that might be some big man depth or a more of a pure shooter, proven shooter, kind of comes to my mind of what
could kind of fill in the holes, especially if Christian Lander does join next year's team. But I think there's a philosophy. I mean, some of these transfers have not really worked out that well. Guys are just taking minor roles, and I don't think that's what Indiana needs. I don't know if they have a depth issue at all for next year's team. So they're going to be really picky. But I do think there might be some late transfers if the NCAA approves the rule that a non-grad transfer, just from a regular transfer, doesn't have to sit out a year. Well, they're expecting to prove it, but it's an unknown right now. We'll be applying right away to this coming fall. So if that happens, I do think it probably will happen in May. That could, you know, push a couple other guys to leave, and it might make it more interesting prospect for the staff.
Mike, obviously the transfer rule that you speak of, now this isn't a graduate transfer. This is any player, a one-time waiver that they could be immediately eligible and jump right into their next program playing in games. The full bore has been a huge discussion since the end of the season. And in fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a meeting earlier this month when it was discussed by the NCAA, by this board, by this group that has to approve it. And it was expected that it would come to vote, and a lot of people thought it would pass at the May meeting. I'm pretty sure I saw something over the weekend where that might be delayed a little bit. Did you see anything on that?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to happen in April, but now it will happen in May.
Okay.
If I remember right. But some of the feedback we're getting from the coaches is that it always has been that it'll pass, but it wasn't sure if it was going to be for the 21-22 season for the first time or for this 2021 season. And we're hearing that it might just be immediately enacted. And so, somebody who's transferring right now who's not a grad transfer could play in the fall.
Mike, I mentioned earlier today that Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek received a scholarship offer late last week from Virginia. Lots of people wonder, I've said this many times on the program, without AAU, without the shoe circuit stuff, does his recruitment take a jump? Of Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, do those offers come? Your thoughts on that? Does the Virginia offer at all signal that there could be interest in scholarship offers coming from others outside of the Midwestern footprint?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's actually a better prospect than his ranking, and college coaches know that. That's why you're seeing these heavy hitters like North Carolina and Virginia, trying to get involved. And I think actually in Virginia's case, they've shown interest for a while, which increases their chances of, you know, being a player at the end, you know, or in the fall when he maybe makes a decision. So I think that's definitely something to watch there. Virginia is also a very well-known head coach, and I think it would be easy for him to envision himself there, what that situation was like, you know, which is something you have to do when you can't visit, like, this environment. I think they're definitely someone to watch here and could you know, join IU, Purdue, Xavier, and Louisville maybe as the other schools that have already kind of staked their claim and really making a chance to be in that Final Five come fall.
Mike, we spend a lot of time talking about the 2021 class. It's a big-time class in Indiana. Trey Kaufman is right in our backyard. There are some other good players locally in that class as well that maybe aren't getting the IU or Big Ten interest, but are fun to watch and fun to talk about and follow their recruiting as well. But when you drop below 2021, when you think about 2022, I know those guys are youngsters that are bumping up a grade for next season. There's going to be a fall off, obviously. The 2021 class isn't a class that comes around every year, even in basketball nuts Indiana, where there are some unbelievable classes like that from time to time. But what's the drop off like as far as in-state players as you take an early look at 2022-2023 and you think way ahead? Is it going to be something where every year there are a couple high level IU, Purdue type, Big Ten type prospects for the foreseeable future if you had to play it out a little bit?
Yeah, I actually think the 22 class is a really good one. Jalen Washington is a top 10 national player from Gary. he's just a little bit under the radar because he was injured with an ACL that had him sit out the entire year. Kamari Lands is an outstanding prospect up at La Lomier, really an Indianapolis kid that moved up there for that prep power. Down your way, Will Loving Watts has a lot of potential. As anybody's watched him, he's a tremendous athlete and really long, and a lot of colleges are projecting how good he'll be. Some really good point guards in the North Indianapolis area. And Tay Davis, the younger brother of the under ideas going to Louisville, has already got a Louisville offer, I believe, to join his brother there. And so it's just, I can go on. This is a very good class, so there's no real big drop-off.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is with us Tuesdays as we talk IU basketball and more. Make sure you check out that interview with Archie Miller. You can find it. It's a podcast. You can find it at Pegs.com today. Lots of interesting stuff. It's on my to-do list for this afternoon. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Look forward to it, Matt. Take care.
That just about wraps things up for this Tuesday program. We close each day with our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete that has seen their season come to an unexpected close because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's so fun to go through these nominations. Any senior can be nominated. We're going to get all of them in. Lots of seniors have filled it out themselves, which is terrific. Others have been nominated by their high school coach or a parent. But it's so good to go through and see all their accomplishments put together on the field, off the field, interest, hobbies, and people they want to thank as well. And so it's really a good way to close this. And I think this is a feature that people enjoy hearing each day, whether you've seen them in their sport, you know who they are, you don't know who they are. These are all student athletes that have put so much into their respective sport now for many years. Can you imagine getting to the final year and not being able to finish what you started? It's really just a sad deal, but that's where we're at with so many things in this COVID-19 situation. Today, we profile Caleb Allstott. He's from New Albany High School, and he is a boys track and field member of the team at New Albany High School. Caleb is a four varsity letters, three of those coming in football, one in track and field, and track captain, most valuable lineman. Those are some other talents that go along with Caleb. Academically, 3.75 National Honor Society for Caleb, so he's very strong off the field as well. He enjoys hobbies away from sports, watching movies, video games, working out, and even a little fishing as well for Caleb. Caleb is the son of Rhonda and Tony Allstott, and again, New Albany High School boys track and field team member. He will go on to college at IUPUI, very impressive university, and he will major in nursing. He was nominated by his coach at New Albany High School, Kyle Wigley. So, Caleb, congratulations on a great career at New Albany. Lots of football, some track and field as well. I know he wanted to give a shout-out. I left that out to his throwing coach, Adam Shally, at New Albany, that helped him with that over the recent years as well. But congratulations. Lots of work put in. We recognize all of your accomplishments, especially off the field as well, and wish you the very best of luck at IUPUI. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back again tomorrow at 11 a.m. We've got, tomorrow, Wednesday, going to be joined by Dr. Eric Yazel of the Clark County Health Department for an update on COVID-19 here in Southern Indiana. We'll also talk with Josh Cook of the News and Tribune and Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic as well. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll catch up again tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.